I want to get to why it is that Mina's Zoom box here is Mrs. Unlimited. I want to get into that. But before we get into that, I want to understand, because our radio show is produced weirdly. And when I say it's produced weirdly, this is what I mean. I just walked into this room to start a segment, and Roy said to me, Dan, we have a segment. And no one else has given me any information. So no one has said anything to me. That's how this show is produced. Dan, we have a segment. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I don't know who I'm supposed to throw it to. Nobody has told me anything.
Allow me, Dan. Take it away, Mina.
All right. I got this. Chris, explain the segment.
All right. Way to go. Here we go.
Okay.
Here
no,
we go.
I got this, Dan.
No.
Right,
I want to hear it from Mina. I want Mina to get it out. I want Mina to explain to me what this segment is. You saw how Billy threw that fish in her lap. You saw that, right? Like, Billy doesn't want to explain
me.
It.
Me.
Yeah. All right. Yes, because you want the segment to fail. You're starting with
no,
that.
No. I'm a co-author on this segment. Me and Mina wrote this segment together, I think. I'll take it from here, because Mina seems to need to compose herself for a moment. It's a really good segment, Dan. So basically, the segment started because Chris said that Mike's dog is ugly. So then we were trying to figure out what kind of dogs are attractive dogs and what kind of dogs we don't like. And we said all dogs are cute, and Chris said no. So then we started assigning whose dog, like who would be which breed of dog. So that's the segment. We're each going to assign someone else what kind of dog they are.
And then I called myself, because I feel like I have a jolly attitude, a golden retriever, at which point Mina mocked me, saying I'm way too dumb to be a golden retriever.
That is not what I said. First of all, I claim no authorship over this
great
segment. I want to make
great
that very clear.
Well, that's good on the front end. Go ahead.
Here's what really happened. After, you know, slandering Mike's dog, Chris compared himself to a golden retriever, and all of us scoffed. All of us made, like, really faces. And the best analogy I can come up with, it's like, when you remember when everyone had those Bitmojis for themselves, and somebody would make a Bitmoji that was way too very...
Oh, so this is about my looks. Okay,
no,
that's what this is about.
No.
Brains.
It's just, the golden retriever is the alpha of dogs, okay? That's all. That's all.
It's like a lead in a movie. It's like the main character.
Yes.
Like, I need to be like the friend dog, like the funny fat guy.
There are no golden retrievers on this show. I want to be very clear about that.
I can see Chris is like a border collie.
The smartest dog?
Oh, no, never mind.
Dan, the actual origination of the segment was, I came in and said, if the Dan Le Batard show was turned into an animation with dogs as the main characters, what would we all be? To which I assigned Chris a bulldog, an English bulldog, because I think that's what he would be. And that's where everything kind of went off the rails when he called himself the golden retriever.
I found Chris. He's a chow chow. Look up a chow chow, guys. Chris is a chow chow.
Hold on a second. Isn't he a St. Bernard where he's just got the beer right around his collar in a keg? Like, isn't Chris obviously a St. Bernard?
He's a mastiff. That's what he is.
Dan, that's you. Also, you're clearly the St. Bernard.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay, how is the St. Bernard in terms of intelligence? Is it an oath?
Super smart. No, have you not seen Beethoven? It plays the piano. Did that happen in Beethoven?
I think that's another Beethoven.
In any case, yeah, they're smart. Remember they wear those little red things around their neck to save people's lives?
The keg of beer that I was previously mentioning there? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so where's the segment?
Well, now we have to go around the room. So, Dan, you can choose someone to assign a dog type to if you'd like. Or you could pass and we'll come back to you at the end. Those are the rules.
Okay. I'll go Mina and Teacup Maltese.
Wow.
I'm going to go Billy. I'm going to grab Billy here. I'm going to say Billy is a beagle.
It's not your turn. Follow the rules.
What are the rules?
Oh, it's either your turn or you pass it and then it comes back to you. So when you assign a dog a name to someone, so now it's Mina's turn to assign a dog to someone else, and then that person assigns a dog to someone else.
That's good. Yeah. I'm sorry for not understanding the rules, because you guys produced this segment so well on the front end.
The rules for this show are much more complicated than the actual discussion, and I don't understand them. You're inventing them on the fly. I'm going to go Roy, I suppose, and Pug.
A pug?
What's wrong with a pug?
Well, your pugs are cute.
What's wrong with a pug?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Look at you went from insulted to charmed. You went from insulted to delighted. All right, who are you going to take out on the dog front? And I'm going to go ahead and put it on the record just so that everyone knows. This was not a good segment idea.
Billy, you are a beagle.
All right.
Chris said that. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say Chris is a Dalmatian, even though I already called him a Chow Chow.
Okay, and I'm going to say Tony. Man, Tony's tough. He's really bougie. What's the bougiest dog? I'm going to go an Afghan hound.
Wow. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Is it back to me, or is it with...
I don't know. How does this segment work? As soon as one of you guys wants
I think
to
it's a snake draft.
I'd appreciate it.
All right. If it's back to me, I'm going to say, when you think about it, Amici's right. Privilege really does hit us all in different ways, and often in ways you don't even think about, right? Like I mentioned earlier that people have given me crap on the internet for, you know, having skinny arms, but those skinny arms give me privilege on like an airplane, right? Because people love to sit next to me on an airplane. So it's all context dependent, and some of us have it more than others. Wouldn't you agree, Dan?
Who is a dog that has skinny arms? Which is the dog that, is it a Doberman? Like where you think of a dog with skinny long legs, or a greyhound probably, right? A greyhound would be, because Mina did something fairly extraordinary, getting back to what John Amici was talking about, privilege, and you just don't understand the unholy world that women have to live in this sports bubble, because they give opinions on stuff and people just... tear them apart in every way. It's unspeakably cruel, and I'd never seen it the way that I have seen it with you guys. And Mina, you're likable. Like you have a huge but you have a Q rating that's very popular. The idea that you would be reduced to tears, the idea that people on the internet and people watching ESPN television would root against you so cruelly and so viciously to make you dissolve when you are among the most popular among us. Like, it's just crazy to me. And the other day, I thought it was brave that you decided to just whip off whatever it is that the coat was you were wearing and show your skinny arms on television for everyone to make fun of and describe them as Brandon Ingram arms.
Yeah, I've stopped wearing sleeveless shirts on television because I get too much crap for... my arms. And then I think Bomani actually said, I actually enjoyed this because Bomani had the same thing. He said he's only recently worked up the courage to do it. And I thought that was really important because, yeah, women, we get it in unusual ways, often worse, but we all get it, man. You don't have to be on television. Like, we have all willingly, as a society, agreed to a social contract where we go on the internet every day and get told terrible things, and we've just decided that that's okay. Every single person in this Zoom chat has seen awful things said about them, right? It's crazy that we've all just agreed to go along with that.
It's crazy that that is the world's greatest addiction. Like there, yeah. I don't even know how to go about sort of exploring how addicted we are to these devices and these connections, but we are addicted to something that in that regard is deeply unhealthy.
I'm going to change my vote and say English Mastiff for you, though, now that I've really had time to think about it.
Good. No elaboration. You're just going to make me an English Mastiff. And that's the segment, guys. No elaboration or why. Just this is the dog that you are. I salute you guys for promising me at the top of this segment. We have a segment and failing yet again to deliver in true Baron Davis style.
Thank you, Dan.
Mina, why were you pointing at yourself? Whose dog is that?
Not mine.
That's Finny. I'll get him.
That's Lenny, or is that?
No.
Is that
Finny. It's Finny.
I heard you the first four times. It's Billy's dog. What kind of dog is that?
If I'm going to be honest with you, Dan, it was a dog soundboard that I got for a little dog to replicate Finny. It was a prop.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it's been driving my actual dog crazy.
Let's talk about what's happening here. He was so threatened by how much better my impression was that he one-upped his own impression and added a little touch of verisimilitude with the dog sound
effect. It was a good touch, and he seemed so quick. I thought the improv was great. Like, wow, he reacted to that by immediately going to Finny, but it's because he wrote the joke beforehand and got the app that needed a terribly annoying bark from a dog.
Yeah, I've resulted to being Carrot Top. Where was Carrot Top, by the way, Dan?
Thank you. At my wedding? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've actually wondered that as well, because I heard a lot of buzz about it going into the wedding. I think I even told my husband who flew. I was like, listen, I know you flew all the way out, you took off work, but Carrot Top's going to be here. And he was pumped.
Let me call Carrot Top. Roy, come in here and grab my phone here and call Carrot Top and ask him to explain himself to whoever it is that has questions about why Carrot Top was not at my wedding.
I heard he was headlining the reception, so I was like all in. I was like, whoa, we're going to get a Carrot Top show? Like, this is going to be awesome. Not just a guest. I thought he was going to bring like his crate full of stuff, but nothing.
All right, well, his crate full of props. That's right. He's got like a treasure chest filled with props. And yes, that was missed at my wedding. Anyway.
That was Gallagher.
It was a great day, though, Dan.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate getting your support on that. Yeah. In the middle of it, I want you to imagine me blubbering next to Carrot Top, like me just weeping, sobbing from love in my soul. And Carrot Top is pulling like a, you know, dolphin's helmet with a sex toy on the face mask out of a treasure chest. Like, yeah, that's Mina, can you explain to me why you have the Miss Unlimited, Mrs. Unlimited, I guess, moniker in your Zoom box right now?
Well, sometimes, to break up the monotony of, you know, remote work and, you know, the challenge of us all being in different places, I like to throw in a little joke, lighten the mood, a little reference to get people a little chuckle when they log in and they see my little nickname. I do it on all the Zoom chats. So that's what it's about. Oh, you wanted me to tell you why, what it means.
You can tell the audience as well, right, because that would be the way to explain that.
I think she did a good job.
Thank you. Mr. Unlimited is apparently the alter ego of one Russell Carrington Wilson. A video surfaced yesterday that was apparently created in 2018, but a lot of people, including myself, saw it for the first time this week. I think we have the sound, right?
We do have the sound, but Roy is busy calling Carrot Top. So, Roy, can you take down the telephone right now and just play the sound of Mr. Unlimited?
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. Yeah, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited.
Oh my God, that is, I am uncomfortable inside of my own skin. That's from the @DangerRussWilson account on Instagram. He sounded like John Witherspoon. Was it in Boomerang? You got to coordinate? Like, I don't understand what we just heard. How can you love that starched of a quarterback? He is the dorkiest, Mina.
How does it fall on me? You saw me. I was cringing. I was curled into a fetal position listening to that. It was the oral equivalent of having Chris Cody run his fingers across your neck. Okay? I've had time to work through this, and I have a spin zone on it, which is I actually think it's a good thing, because I already have too much of my personal well-being and mental state invested in Russell Wilson. This alleviates that a little bit, right? Because if he was the coolest dude in the world and I loved everything about him, then all of my emotional well-being would be invested. But this gives me a little bit of a hedge. Like, I love him as a football player, but, you know, this side is embarrassing, and that's okay.
That is okay, but I don't think in the history of sports there's ever been a bigger gulf of difference between how exciting someone is on a football field and how lame they are off it. Like, I do not think there's a bigger bridge between those two things. I love watching him play. I feel like his personality has a whole lot of Mr. Unlimited in it.
It's worse when you say it.
I mean, is it though? Is it? Are you sure?
Say it again. Say it again.
Let's all do it. I'll do it myself since you think yours is so good. Mr. Unlimited. Oh, God.
You know what? Mr. Unlimited. I mean, it does. I want the whole process. I want like an oral history of how he came up with it, because as Pablo pointed to me over text yesterday, it sounds like a pill you'd buy at the bodega to get excited.
Is he in on the joke? Like, does he think he's cool, or does he know he is? Like, I just don't know what he's thinking when he puts that video out.
I know that Mina loves to be the critic. We still haven't heard your Mrs. Unlimited, since you think you're you want to do We're Arriving Together, and I'm going to introduce myself to you. Hello, I'm Mr. Unlimited. Who are you?
Okay. All right, you do it, and then I'll do it. Back
I
and
just
forth.
Did three different times. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm made as uncomfortable by this as you guys are. Hello, Mrs. Unlimited. I'm Mr. Unlimited. There it is. Useless. Just useless. Just totally useless. Just useless. She's not going to get it out.
I'm Mrs. Go ahead, clear out.
Everybody, clear out. Everybody, hold on. It's hold on. Clear out.
I'm Mrs. Unlimited.
All right, so this is what we have going on around here. We have 45 minutes to see if Carrot Top calls to explain himself on why he wasn't at my wedding. 45 minutes because we are now doing a post-game show after our normal show. We've got a bunch of different stuff happening beginning August 17th around here. But one of the things that's happening is this August 17th that you begin NFL Live, Mina, at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I cannot wait to watch you dismantle Keyshawn Johnson in a football argument. When is that going to start?
It does start August 17th, but here's the thing, and I kind of love this. You won't see me arguing with Keyshawn or debating or discussing because we are on different days, which means that I am the Keyshawn Johnson of my days. Like, if you had told me at any point, young Mina Kimes, or even 3 years ago, you know, in a very trepid, timid, meek Mina Kimes coming into the Dan Le Batard studio for the first time, that at some point, Keyshawn Johnson and you are going to be viewed as sort of stand-ins for the same role on an NFL show, I would have laughed. And that is exactly what's happened.
Well, here's the thing about your evolution that's been fascinating. You described yourself as meek and whatever other things you just did there, and someone who was, you know, hurt by the way the internet treated you, and you've gone from that to you lean into it by slandering Bruce Springsteen on Twitter and saying there are 1,000 acts better than Bruce Springsteen. All of a sudden, you have gone from someone who didn't want to get out there with opinions to willing to desecrate opinions that are going to be very unpopular.
The boss.
Tom Brady. That's the golden retriever. I just thought of it. He is the embodiment of a golden retriever.
That's
like,
good.
If a golden retriever is a human being, it would be Tom Brady.
I get now why you laughed at me being a golden retriever.
Thank you. I wasn't trying to insult you. You know, none of us are golden retrievers. It's just Tom Brady's the one true golden retriever.
Did you not want to talk about Bruce Springsteen? Did you retract that take? Is that something that became too flammable and everybody started yelling at you?
I was kind of trolling. He's fine. The sports writers have a weird obsession and affinity for him. I guess men of a certain age as well. He's fine. It's just not to my taste. But yeah, I was kind of trolling on the internet when I posted that.
How many bands did you put in front of Bruce Springsteen as being better than Bruce Springsteen?
Well, as many as I could fit in 280 characters. So, you know, I would have put more if I could.
Where are you with where the Patriots are right now? Because we have talked precious little with you football. And if you want more football from Mina Kimes, again, NFL Live, 4 to 5 p.m. beginning August 17th. And on her podcast, she does an exceptional job of mixing the information with the interesting and the funny. You could check that out. Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, The Patriots have a whole lot of people opting out more than any other team. So what? What's going to happen? Does Cam? We'd be done with them if Cam wasn't there, right? We would say, yes. Okay, they're not going to win that division now.
I now am very dubious of whether they can win the division for reasons I'll get to. Although, and right now it is 12:36 Eastern, so the NFL opt-out date, I believe, is at 4. Tre'Davious White, the star cornerback for the Bills, who I believe would be the best player to opt out if he does, it's been rumored that he's considering it. You guys can check to see if that news is broken. But that would be a major opt-out if that happens and sort of affect the balance of the division. But when Cam signed with New England, Dan, my enthusiasm for watching that team was renewed in a big way. I wanted to see what he looked like in that offense. I was pretty high on them. I had them winning the division. But since then, as you mentioned, they've had a lot of players kind of... It really feels like the opening to The Leftovers, right, on the Patriots. Love to talk about a television show that only wow, you and Mina, I have watched. Mina,
nobody has watched The Leftovers!
It's so good! People should watch The Leftovers!
They should, it's great! But they're not going to understand the analogy. It's not, right, is this right, what you're right. going to be doing on NFL Live? Because if you want to lose the entire audience, talk about The Leftovers on NFL Live.
I want to make reference to The Leftovers so often, and I can't because it never achieved mainstream success, and it drives me crazy. But yeah, they've lost a lot of players, but they've also lost meaningful players. Like, they already lost a ton of talent on their defense. And then you lose Dont'a Hightower, who's sort of the skeleton key to that. He's the quarterback of the defense, right? He's the guy with the green dot on his helmet. And you kind of need him to run a very complicated front seven that Bill Belichick does, and Patrick Chung. And suddenly these players start adding up, and you're dependent on rookies. And even with the same coaches at the helm, it starts to get more and more dodgy to the point where I don't think now they should be the favorites to win the division.
The Leftovers was an excellent show. Mina, Dan, you are absolutely correct. And Carrie Coon in that show, she was perfect.
Never nominated, right? For an never Emmy. Nominated. A tragedy.
What is your guy's go-to Leftovers at home? Do you guys think, what's the best Leftover?
I know he was going to do this, and save it for just a second, all right? What is your go-to Leftover is a worthy conversation. But I knew you were going to take it somewhere else, not because you're fat, but because... I don't think anyone on this show would like The Leftovers, even as Mina Kimes is saying that it's the best show she's seen on television in 10 years. And I think it's a work of art as well. But I don't believe that Billy would like that show. I don't believe that Tony would like that show. And I don't believe that Chris would like that show. And there are probably reasons that you guys have never watched it, correct?
I've actually seen the first season, and I was like, I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I was just like, it's a little heavy for me. I like lighter stuff.
Pardon me for not watching The Leftovers, Daniel.
What was that? Your old English guy? Like, what is that? Is that a guy who just came out of a castle library in England? What was that?
It's someone who's highbrow with class, unlike the rest of you ruffians.
All right, I like this character. Why?
It's very limited, Dan.
It's actually a pretty good accent.
But I like him as a highfalutin guy who comes over here to tell us that The Leftovers is not art, because it is art. And, man, Mina, I think we're in the minority opinion on this. I think if we throw this out to this audience, they are not going to like The Leftovers.
What? I think that's disrespectful to your audience. The problem with The Leftovers, and Chris, to give you some credit, the first season is a bit of a slog at times. It's real heavy. It's beautiful and incredible, and the performances are amazing. I mean, it's a show about grief. That's a tough sell. It's a show about grief. Unless you're a professional.
Show.
Right, he's a grief eater.
Perfect Dan show.
He ate that show up, man.
I ate up The Leftovers.
Catching time for some ads.
Oh my god!
Yeah, they set me up for that one. Chris, go ahead and put it on the poll. Gather together some favorite leftovers here, so we can end the show on some of the best things. Chinese food's got to be.
Oh, I think Indian.
Really, better than put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebitard Show. Better leftovers: Chinese food or Indian food
or pizza?
Pizza.
That is the kind of exceptionalism that we need around here. If you want more Mina Kimes in your life, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny is a podcast that you need to be listening to. Also, beginning August 17th, Mina Kimes, NFL Live. You're going to want to watch that between 4 and 5 Eastern on ESPN. Our thanks to Mina for spending the show with us today to replace Stugat. We will get to the polls in a second, but I did want to get your opinion first as a Seattle fan, because I know this is late, but I was surprised that they gave up so much for Jamal Adams, and you felt how about that as someone who, I mean, I guess they're just, it's all for now, right? Seattle's yes. playing for right this minute, and they gave up something that I didn't think any of us thought that you could, you know, you'd have to give up for anybody who was a safety.
Yeah. A lot of thoughts about this. I guess I'll start by saying I don't think it was a good trade for Seattle. Like, they definitely, quote unquote, lost the trade. I wouldn't have done it. But I also think it was a defensible trade, not just because, you know, they're going all in for now, but because of the context, because of who they have at quarterback, and because of the nature of that defense under Pete Carroll. There's been a bunch of these mega trades for defensive players over the last few years. Dan's kind of a trend, right? Between Minkah Fitzpatrick to Pittsburgh. It started with the Khalil Mack trade, Jalen Ramsey. I think what makes Seattle unique amongst those examples is that they're the only team with a star quarterback. Pittsburgh's getting Ben back, of course, but that wasn't the case at the time. And that does kind of change the calculus a little bit. Like, when you already have a quarterback, the decision to, you know, spend your draft picks and add other stars takes on a different tenor. And I think that's the calculus Seattle did, because they said, hey, or they felt, okay, we're inches away from winning the division last year. We are close to a Super Bowl contender, and you can disagree with that. So we're situated now to spend these draft picks and go after a player that we think has an outsized impact in our defense in particular. And I actually think that's true, that safeties now have more an impact in the modern NFL than they did perhaps in the past.
I haven't checked the Seahawks point differential, but when I think of them, I think of a team that won a lot of close games last year, which may or may not be a skill if your quarterback is Russell Wilson. Like, I'm usually someone who thinks that's not a skill, but Russell Wilson, since college, has been playing these close games. So you tell me, because I didn't feel like they were a piece away. I felt like they won all their close games last year.
You're totally right. I think it was like 7. Okay, so all the, you know, numbers that we usually look to, the analytics nerds look to try to anticipate regression, suggest that Seattle will regress. The counter to that is that, again, when you have an elite quarterback, some of those numbers can go out the window. Of course, you're assuming he's going to continue to play at an elite level, but he is the reason why when Seattle is down going into the fourth, he's the new Rivers, right? He kind of is. This team is always down with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Russell Wilson's driving, and you feel like they can win any game, even if the rest of the team isn't that great.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter. Again, if you want some more football from her and some more funny, NFL Live beginning August 17th and the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go ahead and update people on the polls at Lebatard Show.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer. All right, Dan, a couple polls today. Does fake Stugatz do a better job than real Stugatz? 82.4% of the audience said yes. Good job, Mina. Do you say I couldn't care less or I could care less? 76.8% of the audience said I couldn't care less. Is 34 years old too old to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off for the first time? 52.5% of the audience said yes.
Close.
Do you judge Mina and think she's a bad person for never seeing Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Lots of votes on this one. 67.7% of the audience said yes, she's a horrible person. Are cupcakes at weddings a bad idea? 64% of the audience said no, not a bad idea. Does every restaurant make better food than what you make at your home? 54.4% of the audience said no.
Close.
Oh, wow. We've got a lot of great chefs in the audience, do we? 54% of the audience could just whip up a creme brulee at home, huh? All right.
Do you spend
the same
any
audience
time
that pees in their shower?
Right, that's correct. I love our audience. Yeah. And the same audience that you think is binging the leftovers.
Do you spend any time looking at your eyebrows? 53.5% of the audience said no, they don't look at their eyebrows. Those are the polls.
We've got a minute left here of show. Did we come up with a conclusion on what is the best and the finest and the number one ranked leftover? Does anything beat pizza?
For me, I think the top tier is Chinese food, pizza, and then pasta. Those are the top three for me personally.
I think those are also the top three for you because you're very often hungover.
Maybe, Dan. Well, I know a hangover. I like myself a nice little McDonald's Big Mac after a hangover. I don't know about you guys.
Because all of those foods are great hangover foods.
I mean, the joke for Chris would have been, what is leftover food?
What is leftover food, really?
Wow. I love Billy coming in as just like bonus director's cut commentary on, well, if you wanted to do that in a way that would have been funny and great radio, allow me to expose you on air as Billy, the person who's always doing great radio.
Totally. Check out my work on the leftovers, Daniel.
This is Unlimited.
That's Mina Kimes, and she didn't know she was on air. This is the post-game show. Now you give us Mrs. Unlimited. Chris, let's recap some of the things that happened on the show today. I thought it went very well for a non-Stugatz, non-Mike day. Thank you, Mina, for being the glue-gots or Stugatz. What were some of the things that stood out to you here, Chris, today?
Well, one of the things I want to get to first is Mina. We did a whole thing on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She says she's never seen it. It's kind of like a badge of honor she wears because it's a classic movie. It's one of those movies that people think of as a classic movie. And my thing is, of all those movies that people think of classic movies, I feel like Ferris Bueller's one of the worst ones. Like in that realm of just like you're supposed to have seen this movie, I feel like it's not. It shouldn't be in that category. It's not that good, really. Like what's so good about
it? Could not agree more. Completely overrated one note film. You know, the title gives it away, quite frankly. The performances aren't memorable. You're absolutely right, Chris.
Now, again, Mina hasn't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off and objects to seeing it as someone who's 34 years old. One of the things I do actually find fascinating about what's going on in Hollywood when I think of a movie like that, we're not making those movies and comedies anymore. Like, are you guys there? The people who do that stuff are going and doing, you know, Schitt's Creek, or they're going and doing stuff that can be television and can be many episodes. Where are your comedy movies? What Seth Rogen was allowed to have it for a while. We've given Judd Apatow free reign, but outside of those guys, like, what are the comedies being made in the movies right now that could even be Ferris Bueller's Day Off today?
I really enjoyed Palm Springs. Did you guys, any of you guys watch that?
I want to watch that. That's Adam Sandberg, right?
Yeah. And it has a very, it's kind of, I'm not giving this away to say it rips off Groundhog Day, which is one of my favorite films of all time. But it has that same, okay, there's one conceit and we're going to build an entire comedy around it. And it's hilarious.
You guys give me the recent comedy that you saw that everybody was talking about. Was it Tiger King? Like, in, you know what I mean? Like that was a comedy sort of. Give me something that has been made recently, a comedy that isn't Adam McKay, that isn't, you know, that isn't the last 10 years.
Would you call Uncut Gems a comedy? Because I was laughing.
Were you?
What?
Yeah, I was laughing. That was ridiculous. That was a ridiculous movie.
But it's not funny. That was a pressurized, like, how did you end up there when I'm talking about Adam McKay and comedy writers across a generation, how did you arrive at Adam Sandler's Uncut Gems, which had very little funny in it?
He put himself in these ridiculous situations, and I just had to laugh at him. And I laughed at the fact that Kevin Garnett was in the movie. Kevin Garnett.
That is a weird take by you, Roy.
Yeah.
Conversationally, a weird choice for you to make.
You are a sick puppy. Not another comedy I saw recently was Eurovision, okay? A Netflix original, total straightforward, gooberish Will Ferrell comedy.
I saw that too. I didn't know if I was doing that thing because I'm a sucker for Will Ferrell comedies. Like a lot of people hate a lot of his movies, but I tend to like most of them. It was as Will Ferrell gets, but I also like that movie.
I like this.
Dan, before we let Mina go, because August 17th is a big day for her, And you have been a leading man on the small screen for a while now, and she soon will be too on her own show. So we're trying to figure out something that she can do when she gives hot takes, and I wanted to see if you had any advice for her, because my advice right now hasn't been well received, but I think it would be very impactful and would go viral, right? So I think what she needs to do is when she gives her first hot take on NFL Live, get some flash paper and just very casually just like throw very quickly like a fireball out of her hand right after her first hot take, and then just act as though nothing happened and keep things moving. Then maybe have like two or three more for later in the show, but you never really know when it's going to come. She didn't like that idea.
You need to make a splash on your first appearance on NFL Live. You need to come out with some hot take and have that, the fire, sparklers, whatever you want to do, ready to go. I'm thinking, let me spitball here. You could start with Brady has zero chance to make the playoffs, but that's just a normal hot take. You need to go a little further than that. Brady won't win a game in Tampa. Pew, 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 pew. Splash. Ah, there you go. See, you got to make a splash, Mina. Or you could say that football will be played flag football this season and not tackle. Just spitballing here.
I thought you were going to suggest I literally carry a water gun or something like that to make a literal splash.
Will you take any of these suggestions under advisement? We were supposed to get to some Sal Palantonio sound where Chris Cody comes closer than he's ever come to getting anyone anywhere around sports to come close to agreeing with him on the idea that future football is flag football. What are you shaking your head no about, Billy?
Sal Pal is straight up subtweeting Chris in this report. I'm telling you right now, he's heard Chris's. We could play it. Why don't we just do it now? You know what? This is a little extra show. Why don't we do the sound right now? Let's get crazy, guys, huh? I just shot a fireball.
The season will start on time. Now, I'm fairly certain that it will, based on everything I'm hearing. I think they want to do everything they possibly can to have an opening week one of the NFL season. We're gonna play tackle football in September in the NFL. I guarantee you that.
So there it goes. No flag football. We're playing tackle football if we play football, Dan.
So anyone who says anything about football and happening, real football, is subtweeting Chris in your estimation.
That's right. Well,
yeah, because no one has specified it's going to be tackle. Chris is put out into the universe, and no one has disputed this report. And again, you're going to be an NFL Live analyst. What is your title going to be? What do we call you?
Analyst, yeah.
All right, senior analyst at NFL Live, and you're going to be giving these takes, and you haven't come out and disputed the fact that Chris thinks that discussions may or may not have been had where this season, if things, you know, continue down, maybe the path we're going down, that flag football may be played with hand sanitizing wipes as the flags, and Sal Pal has disputed it now.
All I said was they will consider it. I never got out there and said we will see a flag football season. I said before they punt on the season, Mina, you know how important this football season is for the NFL and college. Do you think in a meeting it will be suggested that they play flag football as opposed to canceling the entire thing?
No, with this.
I am not even going to dignify this with the response because you've already asked me this so many times and I've shot it down so many times that I don't feel compelled to continue shooting it down.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what your plans are for the first NFL Live episode. Like, you need to come out of the gates. There needs to be a viral clip. Look what Mina did first episode. You got to do something crazy.
Ooh, what if you literally come out of the gates on a racehorse?
Yes!
I'm just trying to get in a studio. Like, there's a travel ban right now, or advisory, or whatchamacallit, in Connecticut.
Let's start game planning if we're not in studio. Let's say you have to be in Zoom for your first NFL Live appearance. What's your background going to be? You got to, Mina, you have to be thinking about this. We need to make a statement here, Mina. This is not just, this is NFL Live.
You know what, Chris? Mina respects it too much. Like, I would love for her to actually do these things that you guys want her to do, but she's going to be with broadcasts and football professionals, and she's going to be doing serious analysis, and I don't think she's going to be willing to play with you guys on this one at all.
And by the way, we are having that NFL Live discussion about the first show is happening right now. It started at 8:30, but I missed it because I screwed up the time zones, which I realize reflects poorly on my "you will never need math" take from earlier in the day, but is what happened.
What'd you tell them, Mina, when they're like, "Yo, where's Mina? Where's Mina?" What'd you say?
I said I got my time zones mixed up.
No, that's not what we practice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, hold on a second. Just hold on a second, because they're just as bad off the air as they are on the air.
It's going well.
Billy and Mina were practicing during a commercial break. I'm going to peel back the curtain here, because they were practicing during a commercial break what Mina Kimes should do, because, again, she's doing the show on the West Coast, so she had a meeting with NFL Live that was supposed to be at 8:30 her time. And what ended up happening is she missed the meeting, and Billy was encouraging her to do what? Now you can set it up on air so that people can enjoy the bit you guys were working on earlier in the show that neither one of you ever did.
So we were saying, Mina, listen, now that you're going to be big time, you need to kind of let them know what to expect when you're going to be big time, right? Because if you go in and you're apologizing every time you make a mistake, then they're going to, you know, pounce. They're going to sense this weakness. So you need to go in there. Like, not a bully, but you need to go in there and let them know, I'm a superstar now. And diva. We came up with a diva. Line, a diva superstar now. So this is the line that she came up with the next time that she's late to a meeting.
Okay, do you guys understand why none of this is ever going to work on NFL Live? That's the reason, right there. Because right
Shut up, it's Kimes time!
She can't.
Boom! Yeah. Boom! Hey.
Time now.
We just peeled back the curtain on a post-game show. God, our listeners are so inside right now.
So inside. You guys were talking about this. Was it with the idea that you were going to put it on air? Because I saw you both trying to imitate a swagger of Mina walking into NFL Live's meeting room and being like, we're on Kimes times now.
You just said it in the Mr. Unlimited voice. That's not the voice that I wanted. Yeah, different.
Kimes times a different vibe, Dan.
All right, give me that vibe.
It's angrier.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kimes time.
And then she dabs and she walks out. And that led us to our next segment idea, Dabbing with Dan. Yeah. Take it away, Dan.
Wait, I thought we agreed on Dab Levitard.
Oh man, yeah.
Wow.
Where's Carrot Top?